Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I am Dr. Vincent Medici, and as you just heard, I am working towards a PhD in biochemistry, little by little by little. And I'm going to dedicate the show to me today, because the memory required to study in-depth chemistry makes your average day look like nothing. I have never come into a subject matter where your memory, the ability to look at a sheet of paper and just spit it back out, is so absolutely vital in terms of getting to the basic fundamental concepts. In the sciences, when you study the hard sciences, there's so much memory required so that you get a language whereupon then you can apply the concepts. And of course, these aren't the everyday words that we use. These are the $20 words, which I tend not to use on radio, because really my slant on it all is that it's greatly, greatly, greatly complicated. And I think some of that is just laziness on the part of educators and teachers and so on and so forth. And then after the students master the vernacular, they like to show off with it. And we all experience this in our everyday life when we talk to lawyers and we talk to scientists or chemists or medical doctors, so on and so forth, using words that really just break down to good old common sense. But educationally speaking, and a lot of you understand this, boy, do you have to have a memory, which is what you have much less of by the time you're 50, and by the time you're 60, and by the time you're 70. By the time you're 80 years old, very, very often, you've reduced the blood flow to the brain by as much as 30-40%. Now, I ask you, why are we so concerned about all these neurodegenerative problems when just common sense dictates that if all of us suffer from memory issues, there's a process going on fundamental to what ultimately will become Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or brain cancer? And the memory, and check this out, this is a slant on it, the memory is just a signal that everybody can relate to on some level, that what's going on upstairs above the neck in that wonderful brain God gave us is starting to go askew, just on the basis of the fact that by the time you're 70, 80 years old, you've reduced your cerebral blood flow by as much as 40%. If we look at it that way, we can see that we can basically prime the memory, keep the memory young and fresh, as a way to protect ourselves from many, many other issues that occur ultimately up in the brain. And if you study it from that perspective, you'll see my point, which is, what can you do about it? Well, I think scanning the globe on the memory issue, meaning to get back that memory you had when you were 18, where you just looked at the page or you could remember three phone numbers at once, and to keep it that way, not to start to, in your 30s and 40s, feel a difference, not by your 60s sometimes to be embarrassed by the fact that you can't remember who you're sitting down to dinner with. The number one angle on this, we're going to really get into this today, is called anterior head carriage. It's not nutritional. It's structural. All of you, those of you who are married, if I take that wedding picture and I look at you in your suit or your wedding dress, and I take a picture of you from the side, looking at your profile, there's going to be an angle between your head and your neck. And then 30 years later, 40 years later, 50 years later, if I line you up and you look at that same angle between your head and your neck, you're going to see your head's moved forward as much as 4 to 5 inches. You went from the vertical axis to the horizontal axis. Why aren't we understanding? Our cancers, our Alzheimer's, our Parkinson's, our senility, just the fundamental loss of memory that you'd complain about if you went back to school at 50 years old. Why aren't we understanding that shift as fundamental to everything that drives issues up in the brain? And there it is. It's in your wedding pictures. Pull out your wedding pictures and take a look. And take a look now from the side. Some of you live in professions, work in professions, where that just wouldn't occur to you. And yet, from my standpoint, this is the big deal. Structure. Your physical structure determines your function. Where that head is gone on top of your neck tells me the stresses in your brain. And one of the great primers we utilize is memory. You know where we also do this, guys? The female period. The period. If the period, instead of being 3 days with no clotting, with complete ease, with no pain, no PMS, no issues with moods, nothing, it's just a pleasurable 2 to 3 day bleed every single month where your ovulations are on time, it tells us what's going on in your hormonal system. It tells us what's going on in your liver. So we look at the female period, the menstruation cycle, as an indice of many, many other things. Well, we do that with memory also. So look where that head has gone over 10, 15, 20 years. Now, what do you do about it? Well, you really got to understand all of structural medicine, chiropractic, osteopathic, all the massage therapies, yoga, Pilates, Feldenkrais. Anybody ever hear of the Alexander technique? Alexander was from Australia. He was an actor. And when he'd do his acting thing out there in theater, his voice would go. And this is extremely troublesome to him. And what we call today the Alexander technique came out of a perception of how to put the head back on the neck so that the vocal cords didn't strain, so you could do your theater pieces every single night in that brutal way that the thespians understand. So we've understood this issue about the angle of the head off the neck and what we call anterior head carriage. All of structural medicine has devoted itself to fixing that. When you get the upper cervical adjustment in chiropractic or some form of a cervical manipulation in osteopathic or a cervical decompression in physical therapy, all of these are designed to ultimately bring that neck back into place if they're done correctly. The question is, are they done correctly? The question is, does your practitioner or do you understand what ultimately is critical mass? Critical mass, I'm going to use a word here, critical mass is the place you want to go when you pay for the therapy. And that's simple. Are you getting the bang for the buck? And too often, these therapies simply get reduced to the therapy, but not to the effect of the therapy. So you're paying for something and you're getting a version of it, but you're not getting the bang for the buck. You're not getting the physiological shift. That's a critical distinction for you to understand anytime you do any therapy, whether it's a coffee enema, a gallbladder flush, or an upper cervical chiropractic adjustment. That's a big deal. So, what does that really mean, Ned? What does that really mean then? Well, It means that all your structural work should, over a period of months or years, realign your posture. If you're paying money for any of these therapies, chiropractic, osteopathic, massage therapy, yoga, Feldenkrais, the Alexander technique, it is incumbent upon you and your practitioner to understand that the place to go is to the place where your posture realigns. So that angle of the head on the neck starts to become straight. Now, how are you going to do that? Well, the truth is, just the way you know you're supposed to alkalize the body, just the way you know, if you've been listening to this show, you certainly know that you need to flush your gallbladder and that you need to see bile, just the way you know that you have to get at least 5, more like 6 or 7 straight hours of sleep, just the way you know that when you eat food, that food is supposed to go into your belly and disappear rapidly, disappear just like you haven't eaten. And if you're having that experience when you digest your food, digestion is really occurring. In other words, there are indices into which you have to have an experience or you're not moving the fundamentals towards your health. Well, guess what? Realigning the posture is one of them from head to toe. And where your feet hit the floor and where your pelvis sits, your sacrum, and we're going to get into that in a moment, is just as integral to moving your head back straight. So we're talking about something really big here. Now, our alternative is to talk about, and we're going to get to the nutrition in a moment. Our alternative is to simply talk about the good fats and all the elixirs herbally that enhance brain function. And we're going to get to that. And they're important. But I tell you this, fundamental to that, definitely fundamental to that, is the structural issue as it relates to memory. And it's just common sense. So, there are a set of muscles in the body called the structural muscles. And we're just going to look at the ones up in the neck. But the ones in the neck are called the scalenes. When these muscles get tight, the head gets drawn forward. And as the head draws forward, the tendency, of course, is for the head to look down towards the floor. Well, the brain's not going to let that happen, and so it pulls the head back up. Only what that does is it crunches the back of the neck. And once the back of the neck is crunched, it compresses the blood flow to the brain through the vertebral artery. And once the head is cocked back to compensate for the forward pull, it crushes the vagus nerve, cranial nerve 10, the one that delivers the parasympathetic current to all your organ systems. So the consequence of anterior head carriage from compressing the carotid arteries, that's your blood flow to the brain in the front, to your vertebral arteries, that's your blood flow to the brain in the back, to your vagus nerve, which is your autonomic parasympathetic relaxation mode electrical system to all your organs. That anterior head carriage is catastrophic. Catastrophic to memory. You don't get the blood. You don't get the oxygen. And with nerve compression, you don't get repair. Now here's another one. As that anterior head carriage occurs, the skin around the brain, skin around the brain, I mean dural tissue, D-U-R-A-L. I mean when you were little, your parents were concerned that you might get meningitis. Meningitis is an inflammation, bacterial or viral, of this covering around the brain. It's like thick tarp. Dura mater, it means tough mother in Latin. And if that dura is pulled, it will start to interfere with the circulation in the brain. And that dura is pulled and twisted with anterior head carriage. So the shifts, the consequences of anterior head carriage are massive. You're going to get less blood to the brain. You're going to get less oxygen, therefore, to the brain. You're going to get nerve compression through the vagus nerve, and you're going to get a tightening and a twisting of the dural tissue up into the head. There is no conversation about nutrition and memory next to what I just said. So, when you do your stretch classes, when you see your chiropractor, when you see your osteopath, when you study your videos online that have to do with flexibility training and so on and so forth, you've got to take it to the point where the scalenes stretch enough, where you engage in some form of cervical decompression. In other words, have you ever seen someone on a massage table and they're face up and they wrap a little towel around the head and they pull it? You've all seen that. It's all over the word cervical decompression. We make $100,000 machines to do this, and then we give loved ones towels, and we tell them to go for it. Just be gentle and use your common sense. The point is, once again, did you get to critical mass? Did you achieve a level of return on the therapy so that there was a dramatic shift in what you felt when you got the therapy? And when you get cervical decompression, you should feel, and you'll get there, as long as I plant the seed, you'll get there. You should feel your eyes clear up. You should feel a drastic release of tension from your upper neck area all the way down to your feet, or at least down to your low back. You should feel an improvement in flexibility, especially up in the neck. You should feel heat, warmth, like a circulation feeling inside your brain. And guess what? You should feel a shift in your cognitive ability, and it should be immediate. Now, a lot of you are not going to have that experience, and you have to know what that means. It means cervical decompression. It means the chiropractic adjustment. It means the osteopathic adjustment. It means the yoga pose. It means it didn't really work yet. And that's critical for you to know. Or what? Or what do? You simply do it. You pay for it. You come back to it. And after the third or fourth shot, you say, I did it. I mean, I had the experience of it. I don't really feel any different. I guess it just didn't work for me. Now, you see why I go into this kind of detail. Because what tons of people do is pay good money for therapy, not have the experience. No one tells them they didn't have the experience. Nobody tells them they have to work towards it. And then they simply conclude, well, this therapy didn't work for me. It worked for my friend who referred me, but it didn't work for me. And this is nonsense. Everybody can have the spirit experience. Everybody. Some of you are going to have to work for it a little bit more. Now, I'm going to complicate it a little bit and say to you, if you're having an upper cervical chiropractic adjustment, if you're having a cervical decompression therapy performed on you, and if you're not, go out and do it, especially if you've got any cognitive issues. If you're having an osteopathic adjustment, a craniosacral adjustment, if you're doing any form of structural manipulative therapy, the efficacy of that therapy, how that therapy is going to work and how fast and how deeply, is controlled by the rule of four. It says if you're especially toxic in your blood, if you needed to flush your gallbladder, that gallbladder issue is going to block the structural adjustment. If you were clenching all night long because you're upset about your job, your relationship, your life, and you're clenching all night long, that clenching is going to upset and interfere with the structural adjustment. If you have scars from head traumas, broken bones, torn tissues, plastic surgeries, and you've lived with that for years, when you try to repair, improve your memory, the blood flow to your brain, the oxygen to your brain, those scars are going to interfere with the structural therapy. And if your muscles are just plain old short and tight because you're a music teacher, because you sit at a desk 70 hours a week, if your head has shifted 4 inches forward over the years because you've been slouching as an accountant over a desk, it's going to interfere with the structural therapy. Before you receive critical mass in a structural therapy, meaning before you feel your brain light up, less muscular tension, your eyesight improve, so on and so forth, before you get there, you're going to have to get on the other side of those other issues. If you're already on the other side, you're going to get the result. Don't say it just didn't work for you, and don't necessarily blame it on your practitioner. Understand there are variables affecting the efficacy of the therapy. You don't get what you pay for sometimes. It doesn't live up to the hype. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. If you're just tuning in for the first time, as many of you do, what I love to see on the site so often are people from all over the United States tuning in. If this is your first time, get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Get to the archives. By the way, all my shows are archived. And what I've done now, and what we're going to start doing, is attaching videos. I'm going to attach videos to each show, and I'm going to attach a library of videos. And these videos are going to be 5 and 10 minute segments. So you can view one or you can view them all. And what I'm going to do, and get to the website, straighttalk.cc, to understand this more fully, is if you join and you're a member, those videos come free with the membership. So I'm going to phase two. We've spent the first year developing the themes in the show, teaching a lot of fundamentals. Now I'm going to attach everything I say, or many of the things I say, to both literature and then also to videos. So in the future, if I were to mention cervical decompression, you're going to see a video of me cervically decompressing somebody on the table. And then you're going to see me in a video trying to cervically decompress somebody where I'll predict ahead of time it isn't even going to have an effect. And you get to see where you are in that pendulum of people out there. So I'm going to put to video, to visuals. I've got a great camera crew, and we're going to put to video all these things that I talk about, from finding the best sushi in town to what cervical decompression really, really is. Looks like. So get to the website, straighttalk.cc, and see what this entails. And for those of you who are already members, of course, we'll be attaching these videos free with your membership, so on and so forth. All right, back to the work here. So we're talking about memory, and the first point we're making is look at yourself from the side and know what you looked like when you were 20, and now at 50 or 60 or 70, look where that head is. That just in itself might be revelation for you. and this is what to do about it. And that's what we just went into. So however you do this, whether you can do it on your own or see practitioners, that head's got to go back into place. If you can't do that, seek help. Now, when students study, when kids study, when your kids you pay hard-earned money for to put through school are trying to excel on their way to grad school, where grades are very important and the fundamental to everything, fortunately or unfortunately, is a memory. Can you spit it back as fast as they can hand it out? Well, think of that kid. Now we're going to get into study. Think of that kid slouched over at these cheap chairs that the college uses in the libraries, or studying in some twisted pretzel position on the floor, nuking their brain with the cell phone or the computer, and finding that after they ate their high-carb meal, their memory's not quite what they normally expect out of it. Well, you're introducing four concepts there. The young child trying to study, the teenager trying to retain his lesson. One, if they're on a carb diet, they're spiking their insulin. Once you spike your insulin, your memory's gone. Yes. Number two, the ergonomics. To sit in a chair and to create muscular tension up in the neck, in the scalenes, is to compress the blood vessels, is to compress the nerves required for memory, is to tighten the dural tissue. Number two. Number three, don't you think that EMF, the radiation off the computer, the radiation off the cell phone in the hand, texting a friend while they're trying to study, don't you think that sends an electrical signal to the brain that changes all the ion gradients and doesn't allow nerve transmission? You bet it does. So look at your average college student. They don't sleep enough. They eat the garbage fats, which we'll get into in a moment. They're protein deficient because they're so carbohydrate oriented. God forbid your child is eating in the college cafeteria. Very hard pressed to find a piece of usable protein. I wouldn't even eat the protein. I, who don't advocate vegetarianism, would be a vegetarian if I had nothing better to eat than what they serve at these very expensive schools. And there's your child eating the trans fats, the hydrogenated fats, frying the brain from radiation, becoming protein deficient at a time when they should be eating only the most exquisite sources, and then twisting themselves into a pretzel on the bed in the dormitory or the little studio apartment they rent, or in the state-allocated chair that they put in the libraries. And lo and behold, you have a massive reduction in the ability to memorize the data. And this is not forgiven on your standardized exams, many of which today now are given in front of computers. There's another slant on memory, the ergonomics of it. When you're required to keep the memory prime, you have to consider the site that you're being asked to memorize in. And the variation in those sites, from your office job surrounded by radiation all the way to your favorite chair in the living room, ergonomically designed so you can relax the muscles of your neck. Moving right along to the fats. The fats. If we were going to go to the one concept about brain function, forget the herbs for a moment and all the other elixirs, the adaptogenic herbs we'll get to. If we were to rely upon one issue, one topic, it would without doubt be the fats. I'm going to cut to the chase and then we're going to reason to it the long way. Find great sushi. Get it from a top-notch sushi restaurant. I'm going to give you the name of about five of them. All right? Go to these places. Do not be concerned about parasitic infections, because these places freeze the fish, and they freeze it sufficiently to kill the vast majority of infection, if it's even there. And I don't want to make the show about the dangers of raw fish, so on and so forth. And please don't say, I don't want to eat the raw fish because of the heavy metal toxicity. Number one, as usual, most of you are quoting vegetarian fare who've inadvertently overlooked the fact that when you cook the fish, it doesn't change the concentration of metal in it. So when you say raw fish and people say, well, I'll eat fish, but only when I cook it because of the metal concentration, understand that cooking the fish doesn't change that, number one. Number two, understand that most fish, from tuna to halibut to yellowtail to mackerel to sardines, the meat of the fish is not a likely place for parasitic infection. Talk to fishermen, as I do, the guys that pull it out of the water and cut it up. Talk to parasitologists, as I do. It's not in the meat, with one exception, and that's wild salmon. Wild salmon tends to have roundworm in it. Even still, if your body's healthy enough, you're not going to feel it. The bug will come in and leave. And, well, I'm getting pulled into this conversation, but the bottom line is not eating super nutritious foods because of parasitic risk is to overlook the fact that we are being exposed to massive inoculations of parasites no matter what we do. Whether you shake someone's hand, touch a doorknob, read Kitchen Confidential by Bourdain, Anthony Bourdain, the guy that's got the TV show where he goes all over the world and eats anything from monkey brains to pig's feet. Read his book on Kitchen Confidential. Tells a great story of how they had the Board of Health come to a restaurant that he was owning and managing, and he thought that they were going to shut him down because all of the salad, I didn't say sushi, I said salad, all of the salad was grossly contaminated with amoeba. Amoeba transmitted from the kitchen crew as they washed and tried to clean the lettuce as they were supposed to. And when Bourdain found this out, he was mortified because he certainly thought he'd be shut down by the Board of Health. And the board told him, don't even be concerned. There's no restaurant in the United States that's not the same way. That's a salad. From doorknobs to hugging people to salads to sexual contacts, so on and so forth. If you think you're not going to get infected, that you're not going to get a parasite in your body or a host of them, please think again. That is just myopia on your part. Common sense says build a strong body. Common sense says get wild fish, strong, not the farmed garbage, so that the meat of the fish is the last place a bug is going to go. Bugs stay in the intestines. Bugs will go to the organs, maybe. But the last place most parasites live are the muscles of the fish, on top of which the sushi places freeze the fish. And freezing the fish either reduces the amount or gets rid of it altogether. So, Asanabu. Number one, Asanabu. Asanebu on Laurel Canyon and Ventura Boulevard. Sasabune. Sasabune on Wilshire Boulevard in West L.A. Hiko, H as in Harry, I-K-O, 11275 National Boulevard near National and Sepulveda. Nagao, N-A-G-A-O, Nagao on San Vicente and 26th Street. Nawaza, N-A-W-A-Z-A. That's on La Cienega. I think there's a couple of them. Get this experience. This is the medicine I want to give to you, experiential. Go to the really high-end sushi places. Usually you're going to have a middle-aged, upper-middle-aged Japanese man with a very serious manner taking his fish very seriously. And when that fish sits in front of your plate, it's going to shine the oil off the toro, the oil off the baby or off the belly of the yellowtail, the oil off the mackerel, the resonance, just the feel, the look of the tuna, the wild salmon. Eat those foods and eat them, if you can, without the rice. Have the sashimi and eat lots of it. Eat till your belly's full. Have 6, 7, 8 ounces of raw fish. And you will remember this show, because the oil in that fish will go straight to your brain. The oil in that fish will go straight to your brain, and you will understand how to improve your memory. Now, little fundamental about the oils, the fats. First of all, the book, the premier book on this, Fats That Kill, Fats That Heal. Fats That Kill, Fats That Heal by Udo Erasmus. There's a name. U-D-O. And then Erasmus, E-R-A-S-M-U-S, Erasmus. Great book. Great nutritionist. Really got into it. It's going to confuse you. That's why I say, forget all the big words. Eat raw fish and feel your body. Or as Johanna Budwig, Dr. Budwig, she had a PhD in biochemistry, Budwig. And she was into flaxseed and flax oil. And she was very eccentric, some would say crazy. And if you even argued with her, just a little bit, disagreed with her, felt that your years of research gave you the right to tell her your opinion, she would literally throw you out of her room, either verbally or physically. She was sometimes off the deep end, but her contribution to health, to brain function, to cancer therapy, to understanding how cells get sick, and the omega-3s, the omega-3 fats found in flax seeds, that flax oil, and in fish. Her contribution was legion. So if you don't want to do fish, do flax, but do fish. You won't feel it with flax. You'll feel it with fish. But you've got to feel it so you understand how to feed yourself the fats for memory. And then do another experiment. Go out and have large dosages of your trans fats, your hydrogenated fats, and your omega-6s, your vegetable oils. We ought to take a hint that the oil from corn, the oil from soybean, that the oil from peanut, that the oil from sunflower, that the oil from safflower, that these oils mess up your brain. They are what we call the pro-inflammatory oils. The omega-6s are the vegetable oils, the non-processed ones, the healthy ones. They're garbage for your brain. We ought to take a hint and maybe suspect that the food itself might pose some risks. But as far as oils, now no one's arguing. It's interesting to me that we can support corn as a food. But corn oil, we know, is really bad. Think about that, please. Please think about that. All you vegetarians out there, think about that. Corn is good. But corn oil is an omega-6, a polyunsaturated, and even unprocessed, is bad. And no one in nutrition will argue that the omega-6s are bad. Think about that. In any event, the omega-6s, the vegetable oils, or the trans fats, or the hydrogenated fats, spend a week or two stuffing the bad fats down your throat. And watch what happens to your ability to remember and to concentrate. And play with it. Prime your visceral experience. Do you want to know where healing really is? All sales of products and therapies and the rest of it aside. You want to know where healing really lives? It lives in your intuitive faculty, in your ability to feed your body the truth through your experience of it. You see, now, on any given day, especially in Santa Monica, I can assemble a group of people to sit there and just smile at each other complacently at what I said. Yes, it's the intuitive faculty. Of course, I knew it all along. I know what's good for my body. No, you don't. You see, it's a fundamental assumption that we shouldn't be making. Many people have to train themselves to awaken that intuitive faculty, or you're left out in the dark. And it's complacency very often that supersedes that. It's complacency very often that says, I know there are more people here in Los Angeles who would swear they know, and they don't have a clue. There are more protein-deficient vegetarians running around who can't stand straight, whose egos have exceeded their intuitive faculties, and yet who would swear to that intuitive alignment with the sky and the stars, so to speak. It just doesn't pan out when you watch people work with things functionally. And so my point to you is, this is not a criticism if you don't know left from right in your body. It's simply maybe a function of the way you're made, and the way you're made is perfect. You may be a physicist, a mathematician. You may be so into your head from the neck up. You may never have played sports. Some people, when they're 3 and 4 and 5, their dads, remember? Dad, to teach you to swim, he just throw you in the pool. That's how I learned to swim. I get thrown in the pool. Okay, drown or swim. So you panic for about 2 seconds, and then all of a sudden you realize, because you're a smart little kid, that you're flopping your hands and your legs in the water frantically, but guess what? You figure out real quick that that's how you tread water. Many of us learned those kinesthetic coordination routines from childhood, and some of us didn't. So when you grow and mature into your adulthood, you may not be primed. So this is no criticism. It's criticism if you're complacent about it. But the point is, find the fats, the good omega-3 fats, and fish is where you start. Get the highest quality. Always investigate something from the highest common denominator, not the lowest. You see? If you love to act, but you're tired of Hollywood, make that choice based upon the best moment in acting. If you love medicine, but you're tired, make that choice from the best moment in medicine. If you love law, but you're tired. Point is, if you investigate something, if you have to make a choice about a food, get the best quality food that money can buy. Don't worry that you can't afford it the next day. Don't judge a food or a therapy from the low end. That's a terrible mistake in business, and it's counterintuitive, really, if you think about it. Let's go jump into raw fish because Medici said so, and go to Ralph's and get salmon that's food colored for $2.99 a pound. Let's do that and eat it raw. And then throw up for a week or two because it's got everything from salmonella to botulism. No, I didn't say that. Start at the top. And if you can't feel it, then start at the bottom and then go back to the top and prime yourself. This is an exercise you can utilize with food. So these omega-3s from flax, and you can grind your own flax seeds, make your own flax oil. Well, that's a little complicated, but if you get the seed and you grind the seed with the right grinders, you'll extract the oils. You have to break the hull of the seed, as always. You'll enjoy, in part, the benefits, okay, of the fiber. But you'll get, if you process it correctly, just read the millions of books out there. Everyone's into flax seeds and the omega-3s and flax oil. Don't buy it out of the container. If you work therapeutically with people, I mean, you know, Premier Research does an amazing job, unlike and better than any other company I know, of making sure you get the cleanest oils. But if you want to work therapeutically with people, get it out of the food. Yeah. Get the oil, the omega-3s, out of the best fish you can find. If you can feel it in your body, which you will, it will have the therapeutic effect far beyond anything out of any bottle. So, omega-3s, green light. The omega-6s, the trans fats, the hydrogenated fats, what do they do? What's wrong with a hydrogenated fat? What's wrong with a trans fat? Well, they're pro-inflammatory. And before I get on to that, let me say one more thing. Saturated fats, animal fats, guess what? Beef is filled with the omega-3s, bison even more so. Whoa. Look at the boo-boo we made. Now, wait a second. Did I say beef? Red beef? Didn't you hear that in the China study, eating beef causes cardiovascular disease? Well, then why is everyone running around talking about the anti-inflammatory benefits of beef when we know inflammation is what drives cardiovascular disease? Uh-oh, we made boo-boo. Wait a minute, let's take a look at that, and then we'll throw in the coconut myth. That's saturated fat, too. That the best and highest minds in the United States of America from the legions of the academic halls of fame told us that the coconut and that these poor, ignorant Polynesians and Indians and Filipinos were eating this wretched white meat from the coconut, contributing to the heart disease. And then we had to apologize for that and turn it upside down and change our minds. Because we made a big mistake. Well, we even haven't gotten around to this one yet. Why aren't we talking about the protective benefits of the omega-3s as it relates to the anti-inflammatory effect, meaning that beef, the red, juicy, bloody beef, grass-fed, organic, killed humanely, is not going to inflame the underside of your artery. It's going to soothe it. It's not going to inflame it. It's going to make sure the clot doesn't form. Why are we touting across the board, 100% true, the benefits of these omega-3s, and at the same time screaming that beef, China study, will contribute to cardiovascular disease? Somebody didn't think straight. So you've got this issue about beef. If you're really looking at it through the back door there, we're about to get to the point in American nutritional culture we're going to change our attitude on red meat. But what, of course, is causing the issue is the inflammatory process. And as this relates to your memory, once you inflame by giving the brain cell, which is all fat, the dendrite, which looks like a star in the brain. It's called a dendrite. It looks like a star. It's connected to a long stalk called an axon. And that axon goes to the next dendrite, which is another star. So it's a star connected to a long stalk. And at the end of that axon, the stalk, is a gap. That gap is called the synapse. What we call memory is a transmission in an infinite number of ways at the speed of light and probably beyond of an electrical impulse, which includes ion or mineral exchange. There's sodium and potassium shifting across the electrical circuit as the nerve impulse is propagated into an infinite variety of places in your brain, so you can recall that phone number from 3 years ago. And that axon, that stalk, comes to the end of itself where there's a gap. You got to take a little tugboat across that gap to the next dendrite or the next star. So we go axon, synapse, dendrite, axon, synapse, dendrite, and going out in a multiple infinite number of directions simultaneously is what we call, can you repeat back what I just said to you? It's called your memory. Your axon, your dendrite, it's all made of fat or the essential fatty acid bases. So whether you're talking about phosphatidylcholine or ethanolamine, phosphatidylserine, so on and so forth, we can skip the higher chemistry. No matter what we're talking about, the point is the brain is fat. Your ability to memorize is fat. Here's the problem. If you have the trans fats, the hydrogenated fats, the polyunsaturated fats, those vegetable oils, if you're cooking in safflower oil, in peanut oil, in sunflower oil, if you're eating junk food, which are all just deep fried in this stuff, it's going to go up to the brain, and the brain, because it doesn't have a choice, because you didn't give it a choice, is going to use it. But in the metabolism of these bad fats, will enhance the production of certain sorts of prostaglandins and leukotrienes, and these are pro-inflammatory chemicals. Now, what does that mean? Very simple. It means that those inflammatory chemicals, and you know this, because you've listened to these shows. And if you haven't, get on the website. Those inflammatory chemicals create the deposition or the laying down of fibrin. Fibrin is scar tissue. And that scar tissue, the deposition of fibrin, interferes with the transmission of the impulse. Across the brain cells, the membranes of these brain cells go in and out of these membranes, ions, sodium and potassium. And across these membranes, you have to have flexibility in the membrane. The skin of the brain cell, the skin of the brain cell has to be pliable. It has to be plastic. Plasticity of the brain. Remodulation of the synapse. There has to be a flux or a flow or a softness, a pliability, which you do not have with the trans fats, the hydrogenated fats, the omega-6 fats, which you don't have with fibrosis up in the brain. Fibrosis, the deposition of scar tissue, is why grandpa doesn't know where he is anymore. It's why you don't remember at 50 what you remembered when you were a teenager. Your anterior head carriage and the fibrosis from the bad fats is why you fail. Why isn't that central to your physical exam at Kaiser? Why, when you go to a chiropractic office and you've been going for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, and feeling a little better, isn't the bottom line spelled out for you? Mr. Smith, the position of your head on your neck has not changed in a year or two. You're wasting your money. Why isn't it said that way? You want health? You really want to get to this? Listen to this show again and again and again until it sinks in. If your health is important to you, and if health is important, you're going to have to put some time in. We're at a place in American history where there are enough sick people getting sicker again and again and again. We talk about the increased rates of chronic disease. Are we putting a little more time in? Are we asking our practitioners, our healthcare practitioners, to spend more time educating? Or are we going to stick to more superficial ways of giving you the information and bringing it down to the sale of whatever? Don't get me wrong. Buy herbs. Buy them. They're useful. And buy herbs of high quality. They're useful. But you've got to put the time in, and so do your fellow educators, to teach you why you're doing, or you're just nodding your head. You're only going to get first base. First base, a first base use of herbs and a first base use of the knowledge is not going to quell the tide of aging. You will be buried by your ignorance. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is straighttalk.cc. Tune in to the website. Get to the archives. Soon we're going to have a video collection on there to turn everything I talk about into visuals, because one picture's worth a thousand words. Okay.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part? You can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.